Blog Talk Radio.
On the Shelly Nunchuck Show, and it is the middle of the week. We're over the hump, and I know that a lot of people have been having a very difficult week. Many people have lost family relatives, and many people have been in the hospital, and I just want to, you know, send out some love to a woman who inspires me, is Diane Purdy, who had, like, was a not a triple bypass, it was six of them or something. I don't know exactly the term for it, but she's in recovery, so I'm so happy and so relieved. And all those out there, you know, I'm sending out love and blessings and help to all you out there. I have a wonderful guest coming on tonight. I should be putting on a pair of Depends because I'm really literally ready to poop and pee my pants because I'm just so excited right now. She's actually, you know, I mean, she's just, when I started reading about my guest, my jaw just like literally dropped to the floor. She has doubled for so many people in the business, and I'll let you people all hear about her. She's all into health products and stuff, and I'm going to, you know, let her speak about it, but I'm so super pumped. And before I bring on, there's two things that I wanted to bring up. I wanted to give some props out to a clothing line, Traditions, and that is the by the great Don the Dragon Wilson. Yes, people, that's his clothing line. And, of course, you know me, I love dragons, and it's right on the clothing line. So I have to give some props to that clothing line. I swear, in my whole wardrobe, if I was rich, my whole wardrobe would be all traditions. I'm not kidding. I would wear it morning, noon, and night because I love dragons that much. The other thing I wanted to bring up today is about coming on board to help save the tigers. It was on the WWF, you know, to save animals, and I wanted to start coming on board to help save the tigers because it's something that I do know with animals. It's to do with the whole ecosystem. If we don't save the animals, I mean, that's something that, you know, it will affect us in the long run. So it's something to do with the ecosystem and the vegetation. So to help learning to save animals, because I heard that there's only about 3,200 left and they're becoming extinct. So I decided to come on board and start learning more and to help save the tigers. But anyway, to get to the greatest part of my show, the great guest, I have to bring her on board. I'm seeing who this is right now on the phone. Just give me one moment. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, Shelley. It's Cheryl. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And how are you?
I am so great. I'm so glad to be a guest on your show.
I am so super pumped and wicked excited. Thank you. I feel so honored to have you on my show. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited.
Well, I am too. I went onto your website and I saw you've had so many great guests. You've had some amazing guests. So I'm honored to be on yours.
Thank you so much. I have to put up Bruce Martin and Ron Lester's pictures. I've been so busy this week and so caught up in many things. I try to put my guests that are on my show to put their pictures so that people can see. And, you know, I can't wait. I've got a whole lineup, and I'm going to have to add you to the show there. And once again, I'm on it. Thank you so much for being on my show. I feel very humbled right now.
Well, thanks for having me. It's exciting. You have a great show.
Thank you.
And I'm like you about traditions. I even buy the men's shirts. I buy the men's shirts and I sleep in them, or I work out in them, and they hang low over my tights. You know, so I wear the women's shirts. I wear the men's shirts. I wear the tank tops. They're like the most comfortable clothes in the world, aren't they?
Oh, I've been looking at them. I swear to God, I would have a whole wardrobe full. I says, you know,
yeah.
My show, it's syndicated. I'm like, this shirt, I swear to God, I love dragons. And for many years, I've been trying to find clothing with dragons on them. Now, they're either were on men's clothing, and it's like, you know, men's clothing is better constructed than women's clothing, or the women's clothing, they're too small. And I'm sitting here going, this is an awesome line for me. Because I even
right.
have a dragon tattoo, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. It's just, I was so excited when I saw it. It's like, I think for my Christmas present for myself, I got to get one of his T-shirts. I don't know which
yeah.
one, but that's going to be my Christmas present to myself.
I just love them. They're so soft and stretchy, and, you know, they're just different. They last forever. I don't dry mine, so mm-hmm. They're just so comfy, and they're thin enough to where they're not real, they don't cling to you, you know, so I like to work out in
yeah.
them, and yeah, so they are. I know. I love Don's clothing line, and his brother James also, you know, heads it up, and together they're a pretty good team, and Cynthia Rothrock.
Mm-hmm.
They all, you know, they're just a great team of traditions.
Yeah, and I think also that manages it is Don's son, Jonathan Hiroshi Wilson, who I had on my show before. And
yeah, I
think
saw that. I love him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's so adorable, isn't he?
He is. He's a chip off the old block. His dad, you know, he looks just like his dad, really. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy because Don's real tall, and it's like you take a look at Jonathan, and I'm like, he's taller than Don. I'm like, my gosh, what does Don feed his son? It's kind of like, man.
It's funny. Yeah, really. Well, they make a good team. Yeah, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah, and I swear it's like getting to know. I feel very blessed because it's just like I really did not expect all this to come out of my radio show, where I thought it was just going to be a couple weeks and a couple months, and I started getting more and more people, and I'm like, wow. And the thing is, where, you know, like, well, I come from a poor background in Boston, right? And here I am. People that have been successful, I'm thinking, like, when I first got there, they're not going to want to speak to me. They're not going to want to come to my show. This is how I'm thinking. It's just, but I think it's because what's in my heart and what I've grown up and loving the action, and having my radio show, it's so much easier to communicate because the art of communication is lost on the Internet. So when I have my radio show, people understand me better, and I'm like, I'm a tech tard, so I'm learning as I go. Once again, it's a wonderful, wonderful feeling because this is like my childhood. And then it's like learning, you know, watching films. This is so strange because every time I get a new person like yourself on my show, and I have no clue, like I've always wanted to know, because I could tell the stunt people doing things and just not knowing who they are. And I'm like, you know, those people deserve some more recognition. That's in my eyes. I don't know what it is. And it's like when you said you did, I think you doubled for, Bridget Fonda and Point of No Return? I'm like, what? And it's like, you're just saying Kathleen Turner. I'm going, what? And it's like, just go, I mean, I'm going, oh my gosh. And the funny thing, you want to hear a small world? You work night and day in the driving part. You are not going to believe this. My big sister, Charlie, who's affiliated with her other show, Ordinary Woman, she did some of the driving in one of the other cars. She told me on night and day, and I'm like, I wonder if you worked on the same set, because she said she had to drive a certain way, and they had to back up. Like, they couldn't turn around. And the way she said that a car zigzag, and I'm going, and you worked on night and day, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. As soon as I talked to my sister, Charlie, I was like, do you remember this woman? She was, like, driving. You looked really crazy driving. I'm like, oh, my God, she was nuts. And she drives awesome, because you have to be a precision driver, because it can be dangerous if you don't know what you're doing.
Well, that's true. And that particular job was, I remember we would go for almost, you know, a quarter of a mile, and then we'd have to back up because we couldn't turn around. That was crazy. You know? But Boston really opened up the city for us. You know, they kind of like rolled out the red carpet, which was really neat. Stunt-wise, you know, because we were shutting down bridges and we were doing all sorts of crazy things in Boston where, you know, if we'd have been in New York or Chicago, I don't think they would have rolled out the red carpet quite so much. It was a lot of fun, though.
I it's so funny because it's such a small world, and I remember my sister Charlie telling me about it, and then it's like, I saw your reel. I went onto YouTube and stuff, and I saw your reel, and I saw you zig and zag, and I'm going, I was trying to look for my sister, and I was like, I wonder which car she was in. And it's like, I have to ask her. I'm going to be like, you know, Charlie, it's a really small world.
It's amazing.
So it's really crazy. And if you don't mind me asking some questions, I mean, this is just like I said, it's like a conversation, and it goes by fast at times. I know you have some products and stuff. I just wanted to know, how did you get into acting? Did you get into, like, martial arts? I mean, how did you get into the stunt business?
I love talking about, you know, the stunt work. And I tell you, what happened is I moved out to Los Angeles. I grew up in Pensacola, Florida. And I moved out to L.A. In the early 1980s. And I was trying to get into some of the action movies, it was back when the American Ninja and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And, I mean, it was all these ninja movies out at the time. And I moved out to L.A. I started teaching martial arts at a health club in a real nice area of town on the coast, you know, area called Pacific Palisades. And, was teaching there, working out, doing my karate, and I was doing acting lessons. And I got an opportunity to read for a part that was playing myself, and it was a martial arts part. I got to do a lot of karate, and I fought the lead actor in this scene, and it was a really bad movie that you would see at like 3 a.m. on HBO. You know, it was called The Night Stalkers. But I ended up getting the part, and I went down to the set, and there were all these stunt people, and I didn't even know what a stunt person was. I mean, at the time, I had no clue. I had gone down there because I'd got an acting part. Well, I ended up having to fight the actor's stunt double. And I had a crash course in learning how to do martial art fights because, you know, as a martial artist, I was coming, you know, I would throw a punch at the stunt guy's head and it would come with about an inch from his nose, you know. And I had really good technique. I was really controlled. But I didn't know how to movie fight, so they pulled me aside and said, okay, now, when you throw a punch, you land it about 6 inches away from the person's nose, and they taught me how to fight, and it was all about camera angles, and they taught me a lot. And so I ended up becoming good buddies with these stunt guys, and at the end of the job, they were so complimentary. They said, you can work to be an actress, and you can wait tables or teach martial arts, and or you could do stunts, and you could work every day of your life on A films, and A-list films, and double in some of the top actresses. And back then, it was Kathleen Turner, it was Daryl Hannah, it was Sharon Stone, it was those were the actresses that were really hot back then. And so I was like, this was really fun. I mean, it was all we did all day was do fights, and so I started looking into doing more stunt work, and I started training with some of the stunt guys, and we would trade off. I would teach them how to do martial arts, and they would teach me how to drive cars. And, I ended up going to Bob Bondurant's race car driving school down up in Northern California and learned how to do high falls. And I started I didn't want to get pigeonholed as just a martial artist, and that was my background at the time. I had a world title in kickboxing. And so I was really intent on being, well-rounded in stunts. So I kind of learned all the aspects of it, fire burns, high falls, driving, horses. I mean, I had a lot of the natural talent anyway. I rode horses my whole life. I ran track and field, martial arts. So anyway, that's kind of, in a nutshell, how I got into the business. And after that job, I started pursuing stunts, and I ended up getting a job, a four-month job doubling Brooke Shields on a really bad movie called Brenda Starr. And met a ton of people on the show, and I never looked back. I kept working and just never stopped.
Wow. So what was the best experience, the one favorite film? Do you have any favorite moments that you'll never forget?
Well, some of the stunts on Point of No Return were pretty magical. I mean, we putting together that kitchen fight sequence where we, where she dives through the kitchen shelving and the guns blowing off and the rocket launcher, and she dives through that laundry chute. I mean, all of that was a really, really fun fight scene to put together. And, and the crazy thing about that movie, and this is a perfect example of what stunt women have to go through, is you don't get to wear any pads, I mean, if you remember what she was wearing, it was a halter top.
Yeah, that dress. It was the dress and heels. Yeah.
She took the heels off, jumped over the balcony, landed on the table, ran through the kitchen. So she had on hose. And she had on a mini skirt and a backless shirt. And it was just, all I did was dive on things, dive through things, roll down things. And so, it's funny because the women, stunt women just, it's like, what is that saying? Ginger Rogers does everything Fred Astaire does, but backwards and in high heels, It's that thing of no pads, and most of the time you're in high heels, and so that was an intense movie, and I loved working with John Badham, the director. That movie, I think, also maybe the Lethal Weapon series with Mel Gibson and Danny Glover. I was doubling Rene Russo in those films, and that was an awesome film. Just that whole sequence of films. Working with Richard Donner was like, he's such a legend as a director, and he was such a lovely man. And Mel and Danny were so much fun to work with. And Renee is just, Rene Russo is probably just the most priceless woman I've ever met. Just a doll. So, those are my two, if you ask me favorite films, those are probably two of the favorite. And Bridget Fonda was an amazing person to work with as well. She was a lovely, lovely woman.
Yes, she does seem very sweet. She always has those roles, and you were like, you never hear anything bad about her. She just has this very sweet personality. There's something about her that she's very sweet.
Yeah, it was neat. And I worked with her about 6 weeks before filming started. I was going over to her house and working out with her and training her because it was a really physical role, so we had to really work to get her in shape. And it was so much fun hanging out with her. She was just such a normal person, and she'd come from this real star-studded family with her dad, and Jane Fonda was her aunt. But it was really, And she was so cute. We would go into stores and places, cafes for lunch after we would work out, and nobody would recognize her without makeup. She had her hair pulled back, and she had no makeup on. And she looked like she was about 12, you know? She was so cute. She was.
But so was she like, I'm sorry?
Hmm?
Oh, I was just wondering, like, when you go to help train someone, right, you know, like Bridget Fonda, how many hours, I mean, like, before a film, I know you have to really kind of even train before you go to filming. How many months and, like, how many hours a day do you train?
You know, I think the studio set us up on stage. They gave us a big area to train on, and you know, they had just mats, and they had, you know, kick bags, and they had all this stuff set up on one of the stages. And we would train about 3 hours a morning, and we would meet there every morning, and we would work out, we'd stretch, we'd practice kicks and punches and all that, and then we would you know, sometimes we'd go out for a jog. It just depended, you know, what we felt like doing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good, and it helped her so much because, you know, she had so much to learn between the fights, between just being in good condition. She had to look muscular and real sinewy,
yeah,
and real strong, and then you know, she had to learn how to handle a gun, and, you know, and really proficiently. And so it took a lot of training. I mean, she, you know, she worked really hard on that role. In fact, we laughed about it later. I ran into her doing another film, and she was like, "Oh God, Cheryl, I don't know if I could do that again. That was so physically demanding," you know? And I said, "Well, that's what you have me for."
Yeah.
And she was a great actress to double because, you know, a lot of the actresses want to do their own stunts, and Bridget was like, "Oh gosh, let Cheryl do it," you know? So that was always really nice, you know? On the other hand, like Kathleen Turner, she always wanted to do her own stunts. And she was good at it. I always told her if she wanted to take a cut and pay, she could have been a heck of a stunt woman, you know? But,
yeah.
You know, and Renee was good about that too. She always liked me to do the stunt work. When we first started training for Lethal Weapon 3, we were going over to Benny the Jet's karate studio in the Valley, out in Los Angeles, and she was being stretched by him one day, and he kind of pushed on her back too hard, and she popped a groin muscle, and she that was it. She was just like, you know, leave the stunt work to the stunt people. And she got away with as little martial arts and as little, you know, as she could, you know, and she let me do most everything. So it was a lot of fun doubling her as well. She's a great lady.
Oh, so you did Lethal Weapon 3. Was that the one with Jet Li?
That was number 4, and I worked on that as well. That was really interesting working with him. There was a sequence where we had a big fight in one of the homes right before this fire started. And he, oh my gosh, there was one scene where he had to take this gun. He rips the gun out of Mel Gibson's hand and he takes the gun apart. And he did it so fast, for real, that the director, you know, Richard Donner, was like, "Okay, Jet, you got to slow it down. You know, we can't even see it on camera, you know." He's pretty phenomenal. He really is fast.
Yeah, because he didn't say that much. He wasn't talking that much, but he moved, and I think that's what got him recognition because they showed, I remember, I don't know if it was Johnny Ray Garcia that put a clip on one of his forums of the reaction of that scene. You must have been in it. It showed Jet Li at the top of the stairs, right?
Right,
and he's
right.
Looking down. He doesn't really see anything, so it had the audience members' reaction. I mean, it had it playing, but you heard the audio of the audience members, and that whole scene when Jet Li came down on the stairs for Lethal Weapon 3, people were like, "Oh, snap!" And it was the reaction. The audience members were just going insane, and they were just, that whole scene, I was like, wow. At that time, the audience members were nuts off the wall, and it was just really funny. I'll have to find it and post it on your wall. That's the scene right there with the audience members. If I can find it, I'm going to post it on your Facebook wall.
That's hilarious. That's great. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it was. He was amazing to work with, and he didn't say a whole lot because he didn't speak really good English. You know, he was still learning it, but boy, God, what he did, you know, like you said, physicality wise, it was amazing watching him. He was something else. He really was. I wanted to mention to you because I thought it was so much fun. I've taken my first foray into producing, and James Wilson, Don the Dragon Wilson, Cynthia Rothrock, and myself are producing a real family-based martial arts movie. It's got a great theme, a great message, and we're just putting it together right now. We're really excited about it because I've done a lot of stunt work. I've done some stunt coordinating, but I've never produced, and so we're having a great time. We're assembling just an amazing, cast. Of course, Don and Cynthia will be in it. I'll probably have a little small something or other in it, you know. But the main thing is producing it. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a great team, and it's kind of the names under wraps, but we're still working out the specifics. But we're excited to get it started, you know, the very first of the year coming up. So I'll keep you posted on that, but it's very exciting.
Yeah, let me know. And if you want, like, anytime you have anything you want promoted, let me know, and I'll put it on my wall. And I've been telling people, right, because I started getting it, like, I'm kind of, I know people, it's hard with money, so I've been telling people if we want to kind of barter. And I says, you know, if people send me something, if it's makeup, health products, anything that they send to me, and I can try out the stuff, I'll take pictures and clothing or whatever it is and then talk about it and promote it on the show. So I figure it's fair trade because, you know, even people in the indie world or something, I would love to do that.
I want to send you some of our health products too. You know, James and, Don and Cynthia were involved with my nutrition company, Genesis Pure, and we kind of collaborated. Traditions and Genesis Pure kind of collaborated, and we brought this product line out that we thought would be most beneficial and most interesting to other martial artists and the martial arts fan and action fans, people that love Don and Cynthia. And we took Genesis Pure has a sports line called GPS, and we took two of the products that come, like, and I'm going to send you some, and you can try them. You're going to love them. But one of them is called E2, which is the mathematical formula for energy. It's basically what that means, E-2. And it is kind of a pre-workout, and it's a stick pack. It's one of those little, like a pixie stick pack, where you just, it's a little foil pack, and you pour it in water, you shake it up, and you can instantly just drink it. And you do it before a karate class or kickboxing class or a good workout or a jog or whatever. And it's easy because you can kind of throw it in your purse, you can throw it in your gym bag, and all you need is a bottle of water or a glass of water. Mix it up, and you've got, you know, you're flooded with these vitamins and minerals and amino acids and everything that helps the body get a better workout. And then the other product is called Hydration. And basically, I tell people, in a nutshell, it's a healthy Gatorade. It's got electrolytes and minerals and amino acids that kind of help replenish your body after you sweat and work out really hard. And both of them are in the little foil stick packs. And we're trying to get karate school owners. I mean, we just are really launching it in the next month or so, but we're trying to get karate school owners to, you know, they come in a box, like 30 stick packs to a box, and they can put them up on their counters and kind of have supplemental income in addition to whatever, you know, their karate school makes for people that come in and just need that extra boost before they work out or want to rehydrate after their workouts. And so we're real excited about it. Don and Cynthia are both on the boxes endorsing it, and they're doing flying sidekicks through the air, and the packaging is great, and, you know, and so we're kind of excited about it. It's kind of been a long time in the making. We've run into some, you know, glitches with the website and, you know, getting the product done, and you know how things are. It takes a little bit.
Yeah.
We're finally
about
there,
that.
And I'm going to send you a couple of boxes and see what you think. I'd love to get your feedback on it.
Yeah, I'll promote it. Anything, like it says, if traditions or anything like that, or, you know, Genesis Pure? Am I saying it correctly?
Yeah, you know what? I'll give you the website. It is. I'm looking it up right now, and it's a direct selling product. So you go on the website and you order it, you know, directly online, and And then we have other products that are also, you know, in the Genesis Pure line that people can check out as well. But you know, these two are the ones that Don and Cynthia are on the boxes, you know. And the websites are, one of them is traditions.genesispure.com. So it's traditions with a Z at the end, traditions.genesispure.com. And then the other websites are don.genesispure.com, and the other one is cynthia.genesispure.com. So pretty easy to remember. And yeah, so school owners can sign up and actually have their own account and order products for their schools, or people can just go to it and just buy it retail and try it out themselves and throw it in their gym bags and have it to use. So it works out pretty good, but we're excited about it, and the packaging's great, and the products are great. There's very little sugar, just enough sugar to kind of be a carrier to get into the body, you know, and everything's really healthy. Well, you know what I mean? Because so many things are so laden with sugar. I'm so against all the sugar out there. It's just usually too much, you know. There's only a couple of grams. Yeah. Sugar.
I really hope when I get to taste it, because, but let me tell you, I like sugar and stuff, so it's like, if you got something and I like it, let me tell you, I will promote it. I'll keep posting it on my page. I mean, anything. And you're not going to believe this, but we already got a caller. Is it okay if I bring a call on the air for a few minutes?
Sure, of course.
Okay. All right, here we go. Give me one moment here. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
Hear me?
Hello? Yeah, who's this? Hi, can you hear me?
James Wilson.
Hi, James. Good evening.
Hi,
thank you for calling in.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to hear Cheryl, and I heard Cheryl talking about my whole family.
We love you, James. You know we do. We
thank
love
you
the
very
Wilsons.
So how are you guys? I see Cheryl told you about the movie we're doing.
Yes, I'm all pumped. I'm so super pumped. This is Marshall. I mean, if you guys, you know, once you get it going and you can talk about it, you could post it on my page. Let me know if you guys have a page for the movie when you're able to talk about it. I'll post it on my Facebook page. You guys have any music videos or anything? Any products whatsoever? Like I was telling Cheryl, and I've been talking to people, if there's something where I say, if you want to barter, if you want to exchange, like anything, I've been telling people, I already got someone sending me a book, sending me other health products, and Cheryl's going to be sending me some products. And if you guys, and I would even do this, if you guys, because I swear I love dragons, if you guys send me a T-shirt or something,
you're going to get one. Don't worry.
I would get a photographer. I'm not kidding, because I have a dragon tattoo. It's on the back of my shoulder. I love dragons. So you get me a T-shirt, I'll find a photographer. I will take a photo shoot in that T-shirt, and I will
get it. That I promise, and I see Cheryl promised this in some of the health products.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
definitely.
So we will get you that, and we will keep you informed on the movie as well.
Yeah, let me know. I'm into martial arts. Like I always tell everyone, I never wanted to be Barbie. I've always wanted to be a ninja.
That's funny. Yeah, we'll have to get her. We'll have to get Shelley a part in the movie, James. It'd be fun.
Shelley, I don't even know where you're located.
I'm actually located in Maine, but I kind of screw everybody up of my accents, because I'm originally from Boston. But I moved up to Maine to do a couple of films, and I think after this one film that's done, the Valkyrie that I'm doing, Alita Valkyrie, I'm doing a superhero, we're going to have a battle scene and stuff, I think I might want to move out. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I might want to move out to the West Coast, because it's like, I just want to see for myself, you know. I don't know if I want to move to, like, Utah or California. It's just like, just for once, the stuff on the Pacific Ocean. I've never been out to California, and, you know, I've been all over, like, the East Coast, but I just want to know how it is. It sounds silly, but just to sit, put my feet on the sands on the Pacific Ocean, you know, it's something I just want to see. It may sound lame, but... and
you'll love it, Shelley. I love California. I miss it. I lived out there for 21 years, and I miss it. The beaches there are so beautiful, the mountains, the beaches. It's just very different than the East Coast, you know, or the Gulf Coast where I grew up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, Shelly, I've known Cheryl. We both were originally Floridians. I've known her for a long time. That's a great woman you got there on your show.
Yeah, I'm honored. I feel so blessed that people come to my show, and I'm just like, wow, I feel like I'm born as a little kid right now. Every time, it's like my show is such a wonderful feeling because I know my listeners love the show, and I feel like I'm like 10 years old or something. Like, I feel like a teenager because this is like my second childhood. I'm like, I'm getting a lot of ninjas on my show, and I'm so excited about that. So I feel so alive. I come alive at... I don't know what the show does for me. It's like every insecurity goes away, and I feel normal.
Right.
It's something that's traditional, and then it's like I can give back to the world, have the guests, and hopefully I can inspire people, you know, if it's just something that I want to do, want to give back. So anybody that needs promotion, even in the indie world, not just like Hollywood, people that are starting out, give back and help give them a boost. So
yeah,
having a bigger voice, you know, that's going to help other people in return that want a little bit of promotion, that are starting out. So the bigger voice I have, I can in return help those that are starting out. So it's like it's a nice circle, you know what I mean?
It is.
Well, I'm going to let you ladies go so you can get back to your interview.
All right.
But I
wanted to call in and say hi to Cheryl.
Same here, James. I'm glad you called in.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well,
bye.
Good night, James. All right.
Good
bye-bye.
Night.
Shelly, James,
so cool.
I don't know if I mentioned it. James used to be, God, years ago, he used to be my fight manager when I kickboxed. I mean, when I would kickbox,
really?
He had a world title. He helped me get that world title by being my manager, you know, and he would literally find me matches all over the world. And his brother Don, who, you know, before Don really became famous, he was, you know, really in the trenches kickboxing, and he was a great fighter even way back then. But I used to go down to Cocoa Beach, and he had a boxing gym down there where he would train, and so I would go down there and train with him before my world title matches and things like that. So I'd stay with James's mother, Toshi, and so it's a long friendship, you know. So it's kind of fun doing business with him on many levels now, with the health products and the nutritional products, and then also doing this, producing this movie. So it is. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, gosh. You know, believe it or not, I have a caller on the air again. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if this is James or not. It looks like his number. I could be wrong, but let me see who this caller is. Hold on one moment.
Okay.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, it's Don Wilson. I can't let my brother call and harass you guys without that joining in.
Oh, that's great, Donald.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not going to be able to talk right now. I'm so tongue-tied right now. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I'm learning all kinds of new stuff about Cheryl. I love this. I love these interviews. Because I could never ask Cheryl every little detail about her stunt work and everything, but that's great. That's why these interviews are so wonderful.
And, you know, and Shelly, out of all the years Don's done movies and I've done movies, I've never worked with him. So I'm really excited.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Oh,
I've never done stunts on a film of his. I've never worked with him, and it's so funny. So I've worked with Cynthia before, but never Don. And so I'm really excited about doing a project with him and Cynthia and James. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, I hope we have some fight action with each other, Cheryl. We got to talk to the writer of this thing. Who's producing this movie?
That's exactly right, Kate. It'd be fun.
We need
a
big bang-up fight action scene, Cheryl. Then, you know, that'd be great.
So you're back in the country, huh? You were just in the Czechoslovakia, right? Were you in?
No, I was in St. Petersburg, Russia.
Wow, I bet that was an experience, huh?
Yeah, it was, because every time I go to Russia, and I've been to Moscow, Vladivostok, Khabarovsk, Yakutsk, I've been all over Russia. Everybody in every city says, "Oh, you've got to see St. Petersburg." And
wow.
So I go there. And, you know, I went to the museums, and I saw the whole city. It's beautiful. It's really the cultural city, cultural center of Russia is St. Petersburg.
Oh.
It's a beautiful city.
That is so neat. Was it cold over there, or is it not?
It was just starting to get cold. I got out of there. The dragon does not like cold.
Yeah. That's what you'll like about California, Shelley. California, is the weather is so incredible compared to Maine in the winter, you know?
Oh my God. Oh, my God. Shelley,
yeah.
I don't envy you in the winter because I lived in New London, Connecticut once.
Yeah.
And it was freezing there. I couldn't. I had to leave. I had to run back to Florida.
That is funny. I know. You got that warm Gulf water in your veins.
Yeah, no, I'm a Bostonian, but I'm telling you, I do not like the cold weather because I don't have a car, so I have to walk everywhere, and it gets 0 below, it's really hard. And then, as you probably know, if you filmed in the winter, last winter, we're still filming this film called Valkyrie, and I'm playing one of the lead Valkyrie. We're out in, like, the land in Maine. It's below 0 weather. Our costumes, we don't have it's skin on our arms, and it's so cold, and I'm like, oh my gosh, and it's not like you don't have a big budget. It's indie. It comes out of the filmmakers, their pockets, so you have to, you only can film, like, on Saturdays or whatever. So there I am freezing. I'm going, I'm going to turn into a popsicle, and I'm like, oh, God, I'm trying to stick my head between my legs to keep warm because we don't, there's nothing there, and we had to hurry up and film because we were so cold, and every time after winter filming, when we got back home, we all fell asleep. We were so exhausted, and it's like, man, if I can survive this film, I can survive any film anywhere.
Shivering's hard work.
Yeah, and you have to really, you know, you can't be no prima donna. You gotta do it. You guys know that, and I'm sitting here going, oh, this is never going to end. This is how I got to finish this.
Wow.
No, listen, I tell people, and I'm sure you know this as well, Cheryl, it's when you're on a movie set, it's always too hot, too cold, too wet, or too dry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And certainly not
it's
glamorous,
one or the other.
Like everybody thinks. You know, everybody thinks it's so glamorous, and it's just so funny. The one time my kids came down to a movie set and saw me, we were working at this 20,000-square-foot home in Austin, and it was a Robert Rodriguez film called Shorts. And my daughters, my youngest, was like, gosh, Mom, this is so cool. I want to work in this business. And I said, honey, this is an anomaly. This house, working in this, it's like, this is such an anomaly. You know, 1 week later, I was down in the gravel pits in North Austin, you know, shooting a car chase in the dust and the rocks. And, you know, we just raw and gritty, and we were swallowing dirt. And, you know, and that's most of the time what it's like, you know.
Yeah.
Well, there's a
you
few times
sweaty.
I've done what they call set movies, Cheryl, where you're indoors in a studio. Now that's like being that your baby. Then you actually control the environment.
That's true. That's nice. It is. Gosh.
But it's rare.
Well, I'm glad you're home safe and sound. I know you've been traveling internationally a lot lately.
Yeah. But you know, it promotes the movies that I do, and it promotes my name, and it's fun, but it is work. It's still work.
I know.
Yeah, you just did it. What was it? The Liberator with Lou Ferrigno? I think you just got done
that
doing that. Is it
for TV? That was actually a TV presentation, they call it. Just a 20-minute short. But, that was fun. I've never done TV. So. But listen, I don't want to take up any more of Cheryl's time. I just want to stop by, say hi to you two ladies, because my brother was hogging the show. I was waiting for him to get off. I'm sure all the listeners are waiting for me to get off.
Oh, Don, so, that's ridiculous. I'm so glad that you came on. It was really great to talk to you. I haven't seen you in a while.
We when we see each other, we don't get to talk. We're doing too much other stuff. So
it's true.
The next time you're in town, we have to go out to lunch, Cheryl.
Okay. We'll definitely do that for sure.
Okay.
Good to talk to you, Don.
Yep. Okay. Bye-bye, Shelley. Bye, Cheryl.
Okay. Just want to say have a good evening.
Oh, thank you. Same to you guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, great.
Oh, my gosh. That was so awesome. I'm telling you, I get surprised. I'm ready to poop my pants or pee my pants or something right now because I'm like, Don Dragon Wilson was just on my show, and I'm going, I know he's a guy, but it's like, you and Don, it's like, you guys are the peeps that I look up to, and I'm like, I don't know what to say. I just am a loss for words right now. I'm like, duh, 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 duh.
you know, your personality is real genuine and real fun, and I think I can see why people like to come on because, you know, you're real. You know what I mean? You come across as real and fun and genuine, and it's a lot of fun just to be with kind of down-to-earth real folks, you know? Don and James are both that way, as well, you know, as his son, Jonathan, is the same way. They're just really good people that have good hearts and, you know, like helping people, really. I mean, that's the way I see them. You know, Donald always goes out of his way to be kind and sign autographs, and he's got a great spirit, a great heart, and James, his brother, is the same way.
Yeah, and I keep asking the universe, right? I mean, you know, I try not to push or talk too much religious things on my show because I don't want to push it onto anybody, you know, because people get irritated. But, you know, I kind of like ask God and the universe, and I try to learn about Buddhism and stuff, and I keep asking the universe, keep bringing me successful people because it's like I can, like, learn from them, but I want to become successful in my own way, and I know nothing's being handed to me. It's not like I have someone paying things for me. I'm paying my own bills and stuff, but to become successful, and it's like I'm praying for syndication for my radio show because it's like it's my own success, and I'm really happy. This is the first time I've never felt like a failure in my life. I failed at so many things, but it seems like with Johnny Crang, he actually said to me when he was on my show, you know, Shelley, follow your bliss. And that's what I'm doing, and it really is true. When you follow your bliss, and it's like showing it, I'm kind of, I try not to make an excuse because it's very hard for me to communicate on the internet. And I have a little bit of autism, and people say you should make that as an excuse, and I try not to. But it's so hard for me to communicate the right way on the internet, and I tick off people like you wouldn't believe. But on my radio show, people understand me more, and I'm like, it's a freedom. I feel free, and I feel like things are off my chest, and I feel like I'm flying around my house.
Oh, that's so good. Well, you know what? Yeah, you've empowered yourself. You've paved your own way, and I'm the same way. I'm all about I love mentoring and, you know, just helping to uplift not just women, but I love to see women become successful that, you know, didn't feel so successful in the beginning. You know, I'm all about that. And part of what I do with my nutrition company is really try and help people change their lives for the better, you know, give back and make people feel better, you know, their depression goes away and they're healthier. And, you know, it's just a great business to be in, to give back, you know, to pay it forward, so to speak, you know. And that's what you're doing, really. I mean, if you can help people with products or help people with projects that they're doing, it's a real blessing because you're getting, but you're giving, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something that, you know, people are trying to tell, and like, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes, and from time to time, I really screw up. But when I screw up big, and I'm like, I've fallen off my path, and I feel like an idiot. So I'm like, okay, you know, I'm like, God, please just keep bringing me people that know what they're doing, like people that are really smart and intelligent. And I was like, I just want to learn because growing up, you know, I didn't have, like, a really good schools to go to. And it was just like the teachers didn't really want to teach me. So it's like my education level is kind of like ass backwards or whatever, and I'm sitting here. But knowing that I'm finding people like yourself, who are sitting and talking to me like a human being, I'm going, wow, you're really kind of cool, and you can talk to me in ways that I understand. And I appreciate that so much, and it just feels real good that people that are successful, where I was really scared because I'm thinking people that are that successful, they're going to look down upon me because what am I? And I'm nobody, you know, coming from a poor ground from Boston. And that's how I thought. But I'm learning, no, people that are successful, I think they're looking at me like I was once in your shoes, Shelley, and I'm like, that feels good, and you guys all helped to uplift me, and I just want to say thank you so much.
You know what, though, Shelley, too, you have to think about this. I mean, come on, that's what makes you, your background and your what you went through and not having a whole lot, to me, that's what makes people have character, that makes them interesting. I mean, how boring are people born with silver spoons in their mouth that have never had any challenge in their life? I mean, there's the most boring people you've ever met, spoiled, entitled, boring. I mean, really, you know? I mean, it's the hardships and it's the problems and it's the challenges that shape us, you know? It's you know, I don't know if you knew when I got when I was a stuntwoman, I got hurt really bad on a film. I was on Back to the Future Part 2, and I got dropped by a special effects guy 20 feet to the concrete.
What happened?
Well, I landed on my face. I mean, I literally fell 20 feet. There's a sequence in Back to the Future Part 2 where I was doubling. Oh, my gosh, she was Biff's girlfriend, and we were Darlene Vogel was the actress's name, and we were on the hoverboards, and we were flying on the hoverboards, and the hoverboards go out of control, and they crash through that big courthouse window. And if you watch that sequence real close, if you watch it really close, you'll see that one of the people didn't make it through the window, and it was me. And we were pulled back about 50 feet from this courthouse window with a cherry picker, and they released us, and we were all on cables. We all swung forward. We were all standing on these hoverboards wired to this steel arbor above us, and it went wrong. We started veering to the left, and I hit the pillar on the left, and it stopped me dead. And as soon as I hit it, everybody else crashed in the window, and which was when we were supposed to be released off this cable and land in crash pads. And I ended up, because I had crashed into that pillar, I ended up getting dropped 20 feet to the concrete. So it was a huge mistake. But my point is this: through that mess, through that hardship, it became such a gift, like a silver lining in a cloud, because it was tragic at the time. I mean, my heart stopped. I was dead for 96 seconds when I hit the ground. I mean, they revived me. But it was so tragic at the time. But now I look back and I go, wow, that changed. That was like a genesis for me, It changed my life, because through that injury, I had like 4 reconstructive surgeries to my face. I had to get my arm and wrist and hand rebuilt. I was a mess several years. But that challenge, that hardship, that tragedy actually took me into a different direction, which was how I got into the nutrition business. Because after all of those surgeries, and some of them, the last surgery I had to my jaw was like an 8-hour surgery where I was under the knife, and it was a nightmare. I had to give 3 pints of my own blood. Back in Los Angeles in the 1980s, you didn't want to use anybody else's blood. And it was just a crazy, crazy time for me. But when I look back at it, I'm like, wow, it took me into a whole new direction in life. I started doing the nutrition because I was trying to feel better, because after all those surgeries and the accident, I couldn't get well. And so I ended up meeting a nutritionist that is now my partner in the business. And he's also the formulator of our products. And so it's just real interesting how bad things can happen, or just, challenges, but they can turn into being real blessings, So I'm like you. Mm-hmm. You just really have to see that, You have to see that in yourself and realize that anything that you've went through that is bad or hard has shaped you to being the person that you are, and then you in turn can turn around and help people less fortunate, because you've been through stuff, Where these people that are born with no problems and, all the money in the world, it's just, they don't have as much life experience, so they can't turn around and help others, and they don't have the compassion that a lot of people have that have been through tragedy, And that's what I feel. It's opened up my heart and opened up my, just my compassion for others, So I'm sorry about the dissertation, but it's kind of how I feel,
But it's like I'm sitting here going, oh, my gosh, it's pain, because it's like I feel like I'm relating to you right now, because something happened to me over a year ago. And once again, like I said, I do stupid things, and people told me not to do something, and I did, and I fell. It was something – I hurt myself over stupid things where I've been thrown on a few sets and stuff like that, because you're prepared. You prepare where you're going to fall. I get hurt when I'm not prepared. So All I did was turn around, I fell, and I heard a big pop. My knee, I didn't have money for surgery, because it's like, when you're poor, you don't have money to go to a hospital. So for 3 days, I was in bed for 3 days, and I couldn't walk. I was crippled. And I'm sitting there crying, and I'm going, I says, that's it. I'll never be able to do anything again. So for 3 days, I put on Dragon, the Bruce Lee story. I liked the film already, but for that 3 days, I watched it over and over again, showing, Bruce Lee, he was totally paralyzed in the film, and there I was, and I says, okay, Bruce was totally paralyzed. This is just my knee. It was so painful to walk. It took
wow.
me one full year to recover. I never had surgery, but it took me a full year. I had to stop everything. And I'm like, I don't have the money for surgery. I'm going to have to take this. It's going to have to heal. And I was like, well, you know, now I can walk. I walk normal. And I'm like, I just got to remember
yeah.
not to be stupid. You know, it's like, and
uh-huh.
it's like even, you know, I'm just trying. And it's like, I go, oh, my gosh, this is something I'm kind of relating to you about. So I'm going, wow.
Right.
Even though, you know, I
yeah.
do stupid things. You know, and it's like, I hate doing stupid things. And I feel like
yeah.
stupid afterwards for a long time. And it's kind of like, it makes you think that feeling like, okay, get back on your path. But then it's like, I hear
yeah.
about yours, and you're inspiring me to kind of uplift me to feel a little bit better.
Yeah,
I'm just glad you did tell me this story.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's you know, it's just we all have our stories. You know, we all have the tragedies, the things that challenge us and make us grow and be better persons. You know, better people.
Yeah.
But,
did you ever have? I mean, when you were little, right? Did you ever? I mean, when you were a kid, did you really think about getting into, like, stunts and films, and did you have any role models when you were growing up?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I grew up with I had five brothers, and I had no sisters, so I was lost in a sea of testosterone, you know? I mean, it was just, you know, I was lost in a sea of testosterone. I wasn't noticed that much. You know, I was very shy, very insecure. I loved animals. That was where I thrived, because animals, you know, I didn't feel uncomfortable around them. I loved horses, I loved dogs, and I had a horse growing up, and I just loved being around them. But I was not comfortable with people at all, and I was certainly not a public speaker or I was shy. You know, when I was in ninth grade, I had glasses and braces, and I was as skinny as a string bean, and, you know, I just had no confidence whatsoever. And it wasn't until I got into the martial arts that I started kind of waking up. You know, it was like, wow, I started finding strength in my own body, because I was just a shy little girl that was trampled over by a bunch of boys, you know, and all I wanted to do was hang with the boys and be like a boy. And but when I got into the martial arts in ninth grade, it was life-changing for me. I mean, it literally changed my life. I became confident. I started entering tournaments, and I started winning, and I turned, you know, turned into a pretty decent tournament fighter, and then I started getting into kickboxing, and it was so liberating for me to get involved in the martial arts. It was something that I would recommend any girl, you know, any female to do. And male, but females especially, it's harder for them to kind of find their own power. And it was so liberating to learn karate and just be involved in martial arts. The style that I took was called Yoshikai Karate. A guy named Jerry Blank was my teacher, and he was a great instructor. And he ended up moving out to California, and he still has a school out there, kickboxing. And he was, you know, one of my trainers and, you know, kind of a lifelong friend. But it did. It put me on a path that was very life-changing overall, you know, and very empowering, you know, for being a woman that was used to being, you know, passed over or trampled by a bunch of brothers, you know. So it was really neat. But I didn't really want to be a stuntwoman. I know once I got into the martial arts, a lot of the martial art movies were real popular back in the 80s and the late 1970s, and I used to watch them and go, God, I'd love to be in movies like that. And when I got old enough to move out to California, and I was kickboxing at the time, but I was also hoping to get into martial arts movies, and I kind of, you know, pardon the pun, I kind of fell into stunts. You know, it wasn't something that I'd really planned, but by doing martial arts on a stunt, on a movie and working with stunt people, that's kind of how I, you know, but back then when I was a kid, I would have never thought in a million years that I would be on a big movie screen in front of a camera, you know, saying a line or two here and there, but also doing, you know, a lot of physical movie work. I couldn't have imagined it in a million years. I was so shy, you know, but again, the martial arts kind of opened up a lot of doors for me. It really did.
Wow, you are taking the words right out of my mouth, because I'm sitting here going, Were we like sisters or something in another life? Because it's almost like the same experience. It's like, I mean, I always felt like this ugly girl. And it's just something that I went through my whole life, and I go, you know, it just seems like I was always, you know, whatever, I was always kind of crazy. And this kind of bad tragedy thing happened to me, and I was like, you know what, I need to do something, and I wanted to get into martial arts, and I was trying back in Boston, try to look for a Jeet Kune Do, you know, because Bruce Lee or whatever. And then it's like I was going by, I knew where this martial arts studios, and I happened to go in it, and it was capoeira that it was doing. And I was like, you know, I just went there and started talking to this kid, Malouk, which means crazy, because he used to do crazy flips and stuff. He goes, why you want to try capoeira? And I'm like, I don't know, I just want to try it for myself. I've always wanted to get into it. And because of martial arts, like you said, it does help people, like, you know, Shelly, you're really crazy and awesome, have a personality. You should really get into acting. And the thing that was still in my head, I kept saying, I'm not pretty enough. Because this is how I kept thinking, like, no, you don't get it. You have a personality. And I still didn't get it, because I know with acting, some parts, they weren't certain looks, but there's many other parts. If you have the personality,
right,
that's what they want. So I says, okay. So I tried this dinner theater, which I had done years ago. I only did it for like a year. And then I got back into it called Joanne Maria's Italian Comedy Wedding. And doing the live shows and different audience members in Boston and traveling with the show a little bit, making people laugh, having the big, huge hair and enjoyment. And then getting into another one where I created my original cast member, Mia Midori, for this Cladding, this Irish-Italian wedding, and started, you know, traveling with that show, and then getting into films, and then looking for lead parts. And it's like, the wonderful thing is, like, my big brother Z, I tell everyone about, and at the time, you know, I'm 5'8", and I was trying to look for stuff. You know, I had basic martial arts skills, like little tiny things I could do. And they were asked for auditions for guys. He says, look, I'll put a sock in my pants. I'll put my hair up in my hat, because it was just, like, basic things I was trying to look to get into. And, like, no, no, no. And I go, why? I could throw a little bit of a kick and a punch, because I knew someone that gone on the set. I says, well, how did you audition? He goes, I just did this little kick and threw a little punch. I was like, really? I says, and they don't want to give me a chance. It's like, at least audition. If I suck, I suck and say no. But at least give me a chance to audition, even just basic martial arts skills. So this one guy became my teacher, my big brother, Z. And I told him, I says, no one wants to give me a chance. I says, you know I'm older and stuff, but even something basic. He goes, really? And he teaches a school up here in Maine. It's Unicorn Cove. It's metaphysical and martial arts stuff, and he helps women with their self-esteem. And he goes, oh, really now? So he's a big guy. He knows all these major form martial arts, Aikido and all these things. He goes, well, Shelly, you're going to fight me. And I got excited for about 2 seconds, and my mouth dropped. I go, wait a minute. He wants me to fight him? I almost pooped my pants. And he goes, this is your chance. So he wraps me up like a ninja, and I'm in his film, and it's like I'm scared poopless. So it's like he goes, come on, Shelly, hit me. And I go, hey, don't want to hit you. And he's like, what? And he goes, this is what you wanted. Now hit me. And I'm going, and we did this fight scene. I'll have to post it, show you. It's not the best fight scene in the world, but he just gave me a chance. And he actually picked me up, and he threw me. It doesn't show it in the film, but I bounce off the ground. And I went, oh, and I'm going, this hurts. And I'm just like, oh, crap. And he's like, come on, Shelly, come at me. You want this? You got it. And I'm like, oh, man. And I'm coming out. I'm like, I'm swinging them checks. And he, like, on top of the insult to injury, he boots me in the butt. And this is, like contact. And he's showing me around. I'm going, oh, man. And it really woke me up and gave me so much more respect at going, I think I understand these stunt people. They really work hard. And that was just 2.5 hours. And on top of that, it was over at Fort Williams in Maine. People walk their dogs. Well, my hand landed in dog poop. And it was dry dog poop. So on with the show, I have dog poop in my hair. And I'm like, I'm so freaking. So it's like it was all dry, but on with the show. So I'm sweating. I got snot coming out of my nose because my head's all covered up. You can't see. And I got snot and sweat. And I'm like, ew, I'm smelly and sticky. And it's like, you know, and then it's like from there, it's just, I just respect these people so much more. And I was like, there's something I want to give recognition to you guys. And You guys are amazing. You guys are just really amazing. You men and women, I give you so much props, and I bow to you guys.
Well, I tell you, it's a team effort with everybody, but you know, the stunts are, you know, it can be sometimes very unglamorous and very grueling. It's true. It really can. I did a show one time called Undercover Blues, doubling Kathleen Turner and another stunt girl named Dana He, and I. We were working in Slidell, Louisiana, in a mud swamp. I mean, it was a crazy. They kept putting these chemicals in the swamp so that, you know, we didn't catch some kind of a terrible bacteria, you know. But we fought in this mud pond for about 9 days. We filmed in this pond of mud. You know, it was about knee high. Maybe, you know, it wasn't real deep, but it was just grueling. And we, every day in the hot sun, we did these fight scenes in this mud. And it was just one of those things where at the end of the day, you'd look at each other and you were just disgusting. You know, you were so gross. You were covered in mud and sweat and dirt. And you just kind of looked at each other and go, you know, we're not getting paid enough. You know, it was just one of those jobs that just, you know, just, you can't believe it's a job, you know, but it's just very unglamorous, but it was fun, you know, and afterwards when it all came together and they edited it all together, the fight scene was great, but, you know, it's just funny, you know, everybody thinks the movies are so glamorous and the jobs are so fun, and a lot of it's a lot of work, you know.
Yeah, and that few minutes, it takes like hours, and that gook stuff, were you like blowing that stuff out of your nose every day at the end of the shoot? Because
yeah.
It must have been nasty. I can just imagine that.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. It's in your hair. It's in your ears. It's everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
I know.
So did you ever play like any horror movies or anything? Did you ever play any zombies, or have you ever thought of playing a zombie?
You know, I've done a few horror movies. I worked on Friday the 13th. You know, I got killed. I'm trying to think. I mean, I've worked on a lot of horror movies because those are always low budget but high, a lot of stunts, you know. But I'm trying to think. The last one I worked on was probably the remake of Friday the 13th. I also did that movie, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you know, where I got meat hooked by somebody and thrown out of a moving car, you know. Of course, I was wearing a mini skirt, you know, and a short sleeve shirt.
Man. You must have, like, rash.
That.
Oh, road rash? Do you get, I'm sorry.
Road rash?
Yeah, do you get that a lot? Because you're in mini skirts and high heels and stuff. Do you get that a lot? Like, a lot of battle scars on sets and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I've got scars all over me, you know, going through glass and I have a lot of glass scars, you know, going through tempered glass, you know, where they explode it right before you hit it, and then, you know, you fall through it, and, you know, there's just no way you don't get cut by tempered glass, you know, and it's, most of the time, that's what they use rather than candy glass, because it looks, you know, it looks a lot more real. I mean, it is real, you know. So, yeah, that, I've got dog bites, you know, from wrestling with dogs, you know.
Oh,
where you put the leather cover over your arm and they bite through it or they get around it or, you know what I mean? And it's funny, you know, it's just hilarious. I have, mostly though, I have glass cuts, you know, where I've got little scars going, well, what's that scar from? Oh, I went through a glass window or, oh, I got thrown through a glass shop, you know, a big shop window. It's funny, you know, but it's kind of just part of the game.
Were you ever on set, and as you're about to do a stunt, did you ever think for like a split second, oh, crap, what the hell am I doing? Like, you ever think, like, I must be nuts? Have you ever thought that for any stunt, and if so, what stunt was it?
Okay, it was on Point of No Return, and there was a sequence when we shot that that laundry chute scene where you know the scene I'm talking about where she dives and the rocket launcher goes off and she dives.
Yep.
Well, in the very beginning of that shoot, we took about 30 feet of ducting, you know, insulated ducting that, you know, somebody could slide. You know, that was the shot where she was sliding down, me. I was sliding down. And we took it and we put it on a cherry picker and we tilted it 45 degrees on stage. And it was probably, you know, 30 feet high. I mean, 25 feet high. It was a good long slide. And at the end of the slide up top, They rigged it on a cherry picker, and then they raised it up in the air 45 degrees. But at the very top, when she went down that laundry chute and that rocket launcher followed her, they actually planted a bomb behind me. And it was a bomb. I mean, it was a gasoline bomb, and it was scary because, first of all, she was in just nothing. I mean, you know, the guys were gelling me up, putting on protective fire gel, and it was like, yeah, right. I had hose on and a mini skirt and a backless shirt, you know, I mean, a dress, and nothing on my arms. And she had to hang, and I say she, I should say me, I had to hang 25 feet up at the top of this ducting, and they capped it because the bomb had to be capped so that the explosion would happen inward, you know, so it would travel down the chute. So when they welded these handholds at the top of this ducting, and then they literally, it was almost like a submarine door latch where they latched it closed and the bomb was in the door. And it was a real heavy steel door. And so there I was in the dark, 45 degrees up, hanging there like a monkey in a black mini dress with hose that would have just turned into, like, you know, melted nylons on my legs if the bomb had gone off. And they were, I had, you know, count, and the guys were, like, special effects guys were saying, okay, on the count of three, you know, they were saying, we're going to count to three, and on the count of three, we're going to drop the bomb. When we yell action, you go on one. And so, you know, so I was supposed to drop off this ledge, start sliding down, and then a second later, they were going to blow the bomb. And so I was hanging there in the dark going, oh, my gosh, you know, whatever they're paying me is not enough. You know, this is a crazy stunt. And you know, a lot of times, you know, bombs can detonate prematurely, you know, people that can click a radio and there's all sorts of things that, you know, that happen like that. And if it would have gone off, I would have been fried because I was in just a backless, you know, nothing dress. And I remember hanging there in the dark and they were going, okay, ready? Okay, take the bomb hot. You know, is it hot? Yep, bomb's hot. And I'm hanging there in the dark, you know, like a little monkey, you know, with my butt to the bomb, you know, it's like, and then when they said action, I let go, and I just dropped to the ducting and started sliding, you know, and then they blew the bomb, and luckily they did it all perfect, and it went off without a hitch, but I remember hanging there going, man, what am I doing? You know, this is crazy, you know, this is whatever they're paying me, it's about $10,000 too little, you know. So I've been in a few spots like that, I actually have, but that one was the first one that came to mind.
Did you ever in your career and stuff, did you almost ever have a point in time where you would say, I'm quit, I can't do this anymore? And if so, how did you get back on your path again?
You know, when I got hurt, when the special effects guy dropped me, it was right in the middle of my career. I was red hot. I was doubling all the top actresses, and all of a sudden, you know, I get hurt really bad, and it took me a long time to get back on my feet. It took me about 2 years before I really started working again, and in between that, I had four reconstructive surgeries, and so I think what it did, and all the damage was to my face, so it really kind of robbed me of my identity. I was like, well, God, what am I going to do, you know? And my right arm was the one that was broken so badly, and it took me a long time to get the strength back in it, and so I couldn't do certain things stunt wise. But the first job I did go, I kind of vacillated. It was like, God, do I quit? You know, I got hurt so bad. I mean, I'm not bionic. You know, it's like, do I want to risk getting hurt again? And then I just decided that I didn't hurt myself. That somebody had made a mistake. And that I had to get back on the horse. I just couldn't stop. And so I did. And the first job I did really coming back was kind of crazy too, because I got hurt falling off of a cable. But the first job I did going back was on a movie, on a TV show called General Hospital. And I hung 250 feet off the Marriott building. I hung off the M of the Marriott hotel. It was crazy, you know. It was, you know, talk about getting back on the horse, you know. The first thing I did going back was get on a cable again. So you know, but you know, you kind of do what you got to do if you're going to continue to be in the business, you know. And it kind of made a statement to everybody too that, you know, Cheryl's back. You know, she's fearless, you know. And believe me, I wasn't fearless up there. It was scary, but I just decided to trust, you know. I was cabled off. I had several cables, a safety cable and then a main wire. And, you know, I felt as safe as I could be. So, and it went off without a hitch. And I really haven't, you know, other than bumps and bruises, I've never hurt myself or broken a bone since. I mean, and I really didn't hurt myself then. Somebody else hurt me, you know. So it's been an interesting career. I'm knock on wood real quick.
Yes, I'm knocking on wood right now on the floor.
Yeah, exactly.
Just knocked on some... So, like, when along your path and stuff, when you first got into it, did you ever encounter people? Because I, when I first started getting into things, I had so many people tell me it's not normal to do what I'm doing. It's like, I mean, now this is like a couple years ago, and I literally had to like get up and leave boss and leave everything behind and just take my clothes and move out of state because it got so bad when people would tell me it's not normal for this at your age and blah, 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 this and that. Had you ever encountered that, like getting into it? And if so, how did you overcome it?
Yeah, I mean, people, you know, I mean, it, you know, you're a product of your childhood in some ways, and I grew up with a bunch of men. So I just didn't care what anybody said, you know. I just did it. And, you know, back when it was, you know, it wasn't the trend to kickbox, I used to go down to Pensacola Boxing Club and box with all the, not only just all the boys, but most of them were black, you know. I was not only the only girl, but the only white girl in the place. And I thrived on that kind of stuff, you know. I did. I liked being different, and I liked hanging out with the boys. I understood the mentality. I find men in general to be easier to understand. Not that I don't get along with women, because I do. I love women, but I just grew up with so many boys that I was real comfortable in that arena. And so, you know, from kickboxing to stunts, and stunts is also a very male-oriented business, you know. So I was always surrounded by men that supported me doing things that weren't quite the norm. I always had a good support team with the men. They always encouraged me not to let being a woman stop me. And, you know, and I'm older than you, I'm sure. I mean, I'm 53. So I've been around for a long time. And back in the 70s and 80s when I was, you know, a teenager and coming into my own, you know, it was harder to be a successful woman in the business, but it was also a challenge and fun, you know. So I kind of liked being that pioneer, that groundbreaker. And I didn't mind the naysayers because they just kind of fueled me, you know. They kind of fueled me on. You have to prove yourself, you know. But I know that's probably something that, you know, most women that have been pioneers in sports and, you know, tough, you know, like the stunt business, you know. I mean, they've all probably faced that challenge, I'm sure.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because it was mostly all men with me too, but it just seems like within the past couple of months, who I had Melissa Tracy on my show, and she's like, she wants me to work with her. She's so awesome because she was sitting there telling me, because when I go to auditions, not saying great with nunchucks, because I hit myself in the head quite a lot with nunchucks. Everybody says to be careful. I've got this permanent bruise on my elbow, and I would just show up in my auditions with nunchucks, and Tracy was sitting there, I mean, Melissa was saying that she would go to her audition with swords, and I was like, oh, you must have been like my warrior sister from another time period. And it's like, I'm hoping to get Jody Brockton on my show. I've touched base with her, and I hope to have her on the show. And here you are, and I'm going, wow, I'm finding sisters. I'm just like, like, you know, I feel like, wow, I've got big sisters. I was like, I don't know how old everybody is, but I was like, wow, I got sisters. It's just this awesome feeling. It's like, women just like me. I'm not alone anymore. You guys are just like me, and I feel normal. And it's
girl
a beautiful
power. Yeah.
It's a freeing feeling. And I'm like, I feel like singing opera. I mean, I can't sing. I'd break the windows, but I'm like, ah! Like something, you know, is radiating out of my system. I'm like, ah! You know?
Yeah.
that's what I feel like.
Yeah, and it's good. I think nowadays it's a lot easier to be a powerful, strong woman and thrive. I think, you know, when I was younger, it was not quite the norm. And so it was a little bit more groundbreaking. But I don't think there's a better time to be a female than now, because there's just so many opportunities. There's not so much chauvinism and, you know, double standards. You know, it's a good time to be a woman. But you know, it's also thanks to women like us that kind of pioneered and persevered, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's still kind of strange because, you know, I have to work, like, this crazy job, and I work it Monday through Thursday, and it's kind of really stressful, and the thing is, you know, I pay my own bills and stuff, and it's, like, mostly everybody, you know, they post about, you know, their husbands and their kids and stuff like that, and I get this term people say, I'm very overzealous. I'm very excited about stuff, and it's like, oh, look at my films. I'm doing this, and I'm very happy. But it's like people take it the wrong way, and they say that I'm self-centered and all those things, and I'm going, no, this is just like, these are the things that I do. And people show me all those kids, and it's like, I'm trying to explain the best I can films of happy, and this is what I'm doing. If I can do it, you can too. But it's like,
right.
I don't know how to write. I'm trying to learn how to write better, and it's like when I overpost somewhere, it kind of makes people mad, and I'm like, that's not what my intentions are, because it's like people, they post so much about their kids. I don't have kids. I mean, I adopted a stray cat, but this is what I'm showing, and people are like, oh, you're self-centered, you're stuck on yourself, you're such a B and a C in there. I'm getting all these things, and I'm like, no, that's not what I'm trying to show. I'm trying to show, you know, and it's really so hard on the Internet, because on the Internet, the art of communication is so totally lost, and because I cannot communicate the way my brain is thinking and how I'm talking on the radio show, people are taking it the wrong way, and I'm like, no, it's just so hard, and it's like I try to explain to people, and they're like, and they get more and more mad, and it's like, well, for the people that don't understand, I can't talk to them. The people that I do, I was like, hey, I can relate and talk to you guys. So I am so thankful to keep networking with people that understand, like women like yourself. So it makes me happy.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm with you. I'm all about empowering other women and encouraging, you know, other women too. I mean, I love it. You know, it's surprising how many women don't have that warrior mentality, that, you know, that eye of the tiger, that, you know, go make something happen, you know, and it's our responsibility to, you know, to encourage that, I think. It really is.
Yeah, and the other thing I would love to do, if I get out to California, you know, it's like connecting, you know, I've connected, like, with Stephen Lambert and Douglas Wong, Johnny Crane, all you guys out there, Don Wilson, all, like, James Woods and all you guys, I would love to have this awesome film where everybody was in it, because that would be the ultimate, do you know what I'm saying? It'd have a part for everybody that would suit them, and put everybody in this, like, 2 to 3 hour film. And imagine if that was, like, in a theater with all these greats in it, like every single person. It doesn't matter if they're good or bad, but you have a film with everybody in it, that would have the fans go nuts. If you really think about it. And I keep thinking of that networking. It's like, I don't know how we do it, but to get all you guys in one film having a cameo one after the other, fans would go absolutely nuts. I don't know what it would be about. You know what I mean? It would be really cool.
It would. It'd be a lot of fun. It would. Cameos for everyone.
Yeah. Even if it's like 10 minutes, 5 minutes, and people go, hey, this so-and-so, you would get a theater of fans just popping out of their seats, just like in hysterics, just like loving it, seeing all the stuntmen for decades, like putting one person right after all the stunt women, all the, you know, just through the generations, because they would love it. It would be like a phenomenal film.
Yeah, it'd be great. It would.
So what else can we talk about? Because it was touching based on your film and stuff. Is there any other products? Did you want to talk more about your products?
Well, you know, as far as the nutritional company Genesis Pure, it's kind of the same business model as Amway or, you know, Avon. Or so it's a direct marketing, so people can become involved in it and actually make some money if they sell products. And it's kind of a unique business model because it's person to person, and it works pretty good. We're all about educating people on the products and teaching people how to use them. And you know, the company in general was established by He's actually my ex-husband. His name is Lindsay Duncan, and he's the formulator of the products. And we still own the business together. But his philosophy came from his clinic, and he's the gentleman that I went to after I got hurt so badly and I had all my reconstructive surgeries. I ended up going to his clinic to get better, you know, because I'd had so much anesthesia and drugs, and I was just a mess. So he kind of put me on a nutritional program and kind of got me back on my feet. And, you know, he's a very talented formulator, and the company's growing leaps and bounds. And we decided to try and do this little kind of side project with Traditions and Genesis Pure just to see what we could do with the martial arts community, because it was near and dear to our heart. But in general, the company has a lot of other products too, and the philosophy with it is cleanse, balance, and build. And so I don't know if you've ever gotten into cleansing and detoxing the body, but there's a whole philosophy, and that's kind of how he helped me get back on my feet when I was so toxic from all the drugs and everything that I had went through. And so it's really interesting, and I felt like, well, I got hurt doing stunts, and I did get back on my feet with stunts, but I also became very interested in nutrition and ended up through, you know, meeting Lindsay and learning about so much about nutrition and feeling so much better while following his program that I went back to school and I ended up getting a certified nutritionist degree and started working at the clinic full time. And anyway, this company is kind of an offshoot of the clinic, Genesis Pure. And if people are interested in looking at it, they can see it at genesispure.com. You can look at all the products. But we have core products that have to do with cleansing and detoxifying, because everybody needs to cleanse these days. You know, it's just such a toxic world we live in between diet and air and water and everything else. And then the other pillar of, you know, his philosophy is called balance, where you kind of look at your body and you balance the pH and you try and alkalinize your body more, because acid bodies tend to be, you know, it's all relative to degenerative diseases like arthritis. Anything that's, when you have too much acid in the body, you're looking at arthritis, you're looking at a lot of other degenerative diseases like cancer. So you want to alkalinize your body and keep your pH higher, which means it's going to be healthier and more oxygenated. And then the last pillar is build, which is kind of getting enough nutrients in your body so that you're not deficient, because a lot of disease comes from deficiencies, you know, whether it's mineral deficiencies or vitamin deficiencies. So it's kind of an interesting core philosophy, and then the sports products kind of branch outward from it. But we've helped a lot of people in general, not just sports figures and athletes, although they love our products, but just everyday people that complain about joint pain or, you know, just different everyday ailments that tend to really get better when they're on the product. So it's been a really fun company, and it's been fun giving back and helping people, and we're all about educating and really teaching people how to empower themselves, you know, and kind of understand more about their bodies and their health, and not just depend on a doctor handing you some pill, you know, that's not going to work, you know.
Yeah. And is it something where also, too, with the products, I don't know if it's something that would help me, because before I got into, like, all the acne stuff, do you remember back in the 90s when rollerblading was really, really big, a big, big craze and stuff? Like, way back?
Yeah.
I used to rollerblade a lot, and I used to go through the streets of Boston. I used to crash into cars. Like, I used to be crazy, and I used to get chased by the cops, and I was going through Boston Common, the public gardens, and the cops used to get mad, and I used to be really fast, but I would just, like, totally, like, crash into parked cars and stuff, and I think I'm feeling all these effects from what I did in my 20s. So I'm sitting here going, oh, my dear gosh, like, aches and pains, my knees. I have that damage to my knee, like, in the winter. I don't know if it's arthritis that's settling in, and it's like, you know, acupuncture. I had that done before, and I'm trying to look into that. It's like, you know, when you don't have money, you're trying to look into, like, all the alternatives, because medications, with doctors' medication, I'm not saying don't follow your doctor's advice, but it seems like commercials that I've seen, like, on YouTube and stuff, you know, take this medicine, but you got to take a second and third medication to help out with the first one. And I'm like,
right.
And it says, or, you know, side effects or possibly could cause death. And I'm like, what? Why would you take that in the first place? You know, it's supposed to help you, and you're sitting there where it's possibly could cause death. So that's kind of scary.
Really scary,
you know?
Isn't it? I know. And,
yeah.
And that's what we teach. We try and teach people, hey, look, don't wait for the doctors and the pharmaceutical companies, because that's just – it's just, there's just toxic side effects with, you know, I mean, of course, you know, when I got hurt, of course, I mean, I owe my life to doctors, but I'm talking more about degenerative issues like arthritis and cancer and these degenerative diseases where, you know, the doctors kind of get an F minus, you know, on being able to deal with them properly, you know. So that's kind of what we're about, educating people on how to take care of themselves and, you know, how to change their diet and how to drink water that's more alkaline, which is a much more healthy state for the body. And we teach people all sorts of things, like sugar causes inflammation, and we talk about how people that have osteoporosis, you know, it's usually tied in to the body being too acidic, and the body will pull calcium out of the bones to neutralize the acid, and it's just a whole crazy thing. And that's what I do when I'm not doing movies or stunts. I'll go around doing seminars teaching people about health and educating them about their body and trying to keep it in a real basic format so that they get it, you know, instead of making it too technical and too overwhelming. It's more about just real simplistic concepts. And it's fun because, you know, people will come up to me afterwards and go, oh, my God, I didn't know that. That is like a big aha for me about acid and osteoporosis, you know. You think, oh, well, if you have osteoporosis, you just take calcium and drink more milk. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Milk is really acidic, and it's going to make the body more acid.
I can't drink milk. It gives me the runs. I'm not lactose intolerant. When I was little, I could drink milk by the gallons.
I don't know what it is.
Kind of something I can't drink. I can eat ice cream, but if anything to do with milk, I can't drink milk at all.
Well, a lot of people can't break down that lactose enzyme. It's tough when people get older, they have trouble breaking it down. So, you know, it'll cause all sorts of problems. But, you know, but milk is also real acidic, and it causes mucus. And so a lot of times if people are chronic milk drinkers, they'll get some kind of lung issue or, you know, bronchial issue. And just something simple like going off of milk and cheese will change it around completely. And, you know, it's not about being perfect too, Shelley. You know, it really isn't. It's not about eating perfect or being perfect. It's just really mainly learning the do's and don'ts and being strategic about it, you know, so that, you know, you're strategic so that if you do cheat one day and you have this and that and a bunch of sugar and you drink alcohol or whatever, the next day you kind of know how to offset that and eat light and really kind of refortify the body with certain things that are really good for it, you know. And that's kind of the way I look at it. It's like I don't teach people trying to be perfect, because nobody's going to be perfect. And, you know, perfect is like those people born with the silver spoons in their mouth. It's just really boring, you know. So you got to have fun and you got to enjoy life, but you got to do things in moderation and you got to be strategic and smart about it. And that's basically, you know, my philosophy and what I try and teach, you know. And we're just, as a company, we're just all about educating and kind of empowering people, you know. And lately we've been doing some women's only events. And if I get up towards your way again, I'll call you and you can come to one of our events. But last time I was in New Hampshire not too long ago, which is real close to Maine. I was in Manchester. I don't know how far away that is from you, but.
Yeah, it's kind of like a state away. It's like right now I don't have a car, so it's like I have to walk like everywhere unless I'm going to a set and someone's picking me up. It's like, I live close to my work job, and it's like I'm not really going anywhere. But now that the winter's coming, I don't want to leave the house. I just don't want to leave the house if I don't have to. It just gets cold, like North Pole cold, where I don't think the polar bears could stand the cold around here. I swear to God, that's how cold it gets.
No, I hear you. It does get really cold up there. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's all good. It's been a real journey, you know, going from stunts to doing nutrition and kind of how they both tie in together with me, which is stunt accident to nutritionist, you know. So it's been kind of, people always ask me that. Well, how are you a stunt woman and a nutritionist? You know, I said, well, a nutritionist practically saved my life, you know, and changed the course of my life. So, but I still love stunts. I still love the movie work, and I'm always going to do that. So I kind of juggle them when I have to, you know.
Yeah, but it goes hand to hand if you really think about it, because if you really want to be a major stunt person, you got to kind of be in some sort of physical fitness, especially the stuff that you do. You got to really be, you know, on top of your game, because it's all about safety. You know, even the little stuff that I've done, I mean, you guys have done major stuff. I've done, like, basic, you know, basic stuff. I mean, it's still hard, but compared to what you do, oh, my gosh, I don't even know how you can – I mean, you must have filmed up to sometimes 12 hours a day.
Oh, well, it seems like it. I know. It does. Yeah, that does happen a lot, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that I was looking at, two things I saw, because what do they call it nowadays? What's the term? Perving your profile on Facebook, peeping, perving, whatever it's called. I was looking at some of your pictures. There's two things that I seen. I want to know one thing. What's up with the plane? You were in a plane, I think, or something like that?
Oh, I'm a pilot. Over the years, I've done so many stunt jobs where I was flying with pilots and doing helicopter work and then doing plane work. I did a film with Mel Gibson called Bird on a Wire, and I was Dublin Goldie Hawn, and it was a few years ago, but I did a whole sequence in an airplane with a pilot named Chuck Wentworth, who was a major, he was just an amazing pilot, and he really intrigued me and kind of got me interested in flying, and once my kids, you know, I've got two girls, and once they were old enough to, where I felt like I wouldn't be deserting them if something happened and I crashed, you know, they were on their feet, I started flying. I started learning to fly in Austin, Texas, and it took me about a year and a half to get my pilot's license. And I kind of took my time, and I was real paranoid about the whole FAA flight test and, you know, doing the oral exam and written, and I had to go up with an FAA examiner, and it just terrified me, you know. So I really took my time. I had a lot more hours than I needed before I actually got my license. But, yeah, I ended up getting it about 3 years ago, and 2.5, 3 years ago, and it's been a blast. I haven't been up that much lately, though. You kind of go in stages, and I've been so busy working and trying to pay the bills, and you know, you know, doing the stunt work and all. So I haven't been up lately, but it's probably been about 4 or 5 months since I've been up. But I love flying. It's a thrill. It really is. And those planes weren't mine. I was probably just standing next to somebody else's plane, you know.
Oh, because I saw you, like, with the headset on and stuff, and I was like, man, she's flying a plane. Wow, she's really cool.
Funny.
You know, it's awesome. I was like, look at that view. I was like, oh, baby, that's just awesome.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah, we shot that for a photo shoot for a health magazine, and I think they used the theme of Cheryl Wheeler Duncan is flying high, you know, doing something or other. And they had us, you know, they had me on the cover. And it was a nice little piece, you know, and they really kind of got into my head about why I fly. And I actually wrote the article and they edited it down a little bit, but, you know, about why I like to fly. But it was fun. And, it's a real release, too. And when you go up in a plane, it's very interesting because everybody's always searching for that zen spot, you know, that spot where you just, you quit thinking and you're real present. And that's really what would happen when I would fly because, you know, all these controls are in front of you and you have to stay on top of everything. And you have to be in that moment. You have to be in that present to really fly the plane correctly. So it teaches me to do that, you know, instead of looking ahead or saying, well, when we get here, I'll do this or, you know, when I get to this point, I'll do that. But when you're in a plane, you can't mess up. You have to stay on top of your game. You know? So it's been a kind of a fun journey too. It really has.
Oh man, that's awesome. I would love to be a passenger when you're flying. I just would like I'd be like, oh my gosh, I would go up and play with you any day. I mean, I'm just crazy because
cool.
People like, you know, I just like yes. I definitely, if you have a fly to Maine over, like, in Portland, because there's an airport over here close next to the city I live, so it's like, there is an airport here, so if you ever come here, I'll take a cab over to, you know, we'll go up in a plane together or something.
I'd love it, too. It'd be fun. It would be. If I could ever get over toward the East Coast, it's a little bit more intimidating flying there, although Maine probably isn't so bad because it's not so populated, but, you know, flying over New York and some of the East Coast, New Jersey and some of those areas, it's just petrifying to me because there's so many people. You know, there's no emergency landing areas, you know. It's just, whereas
yeah.
Texas, you go up in the airport and you can land in any cow field, you know. It's a
yeah.
lot different flying in the East when there's big, big trees and so many homes and everything, you know. So it was always a little bit intimidating to me. But I bet it's beautiful flying there this time of year with all the – well, I bet the leaves have passed by now. I guess it's really almost passed. But that changing
yeah.
the leaves in October is
yeah.
amazing.
And the
yeah.
snow. And I'm trying not to think of snow because it's like it's time to become like a bear and hibernate.
Yeah.
I mean,
aww.
You know. I can handle it. It's just like people are like, yeah, I love the snow and stuff like that. I says, yeah, when you don't have a car and you're walking everywhere and it's like, you know, it's really bad because they have to shut down when it's really bad. They'll have to shut it down. It's like if you're walking on a street by yourself in Maine and you have snow up to your knees and you experience walking in that for a while, you kind of, like, don't want to leave the house. It's a different story when you have a car than
absolutely.
When you're walking. So it's kind of
absolutely.
Different, but,
yeah.
And it's kind of an experience where I wasn't here one time, but I was, like, filming up the street, and I guess a moose came in my backyard. I missed it because I lived near the river, and I guess the black flies had chased it. It was a mama moose or something. It was a female. And she strolled through my backyard. I was like, really? Now imagine this. A Bostonian girl, right? If I had the window open, this big sucker that's probably as big as an elephant sticks its big massive head to my window. Can you imagine me? I'd probably scream, go, what the heck? Or knowing me, I probably would have fed it. Because that's how I get my cat. They show up on my backyard. That's how I got my cat. And she showed up in my backyard. I fed her. She probably was like, hey, look at this sucker. She'll feed me. I fed her. Next thing you know, she's in my house. And
that's
and she's actually sitting here right near.
Yeah, that's so neat. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the story I tell everyone about it, it's like, you know, because it's like when I came up here, I was staying with my big brother and his family, and it's like I got my place. I didn't have a bed. I had no rugs, and it was in the winter when I first got my place, and the heat didn't work. So I had the stove. I'm on the floor next to the stove, right? So it's freezing. It's really cold. So it's like I had no bed, sitting there, just a blanket, nothing, next to the sofa, just on a wooden floor. I had no rugs. And I end up feeding this cat, and she ends up, you know, I end up feeding her. Next thing else, she's in the house. So we're cuddling up in the middle of the winter next to the stove for the heat with two blankets. And we kept each other warm. And ever since then, you know, she's mine. She drives me crazy sometimes because she's part ninja. So that's just something that,
that's
you know,
cool. Yeah.
I take them in. One more thing I wanted to talk. I'm trying to figure out. It just goes by so fast. It's like it's almost time to go. But just to let you know, I wish I would have known when you were visiting Boston because I saw that there was some pictures, and I was like, man, I would have given you the Shelley tour. We could have gotten in the car. I would have drove you around because I swear to God, no, I've lived in the inner cities of Boston. And I would have been like, you know something, because my friends, right, I would have did a good hookup. I would have did a good, really Bostonian hookup for you. I would have been driving the car because some of my friends that come from, like, the suburbs and stuff, they wouldn't drive their cars. They go, oh, I'll drive the car, right, because, you know, just knowing the ins and outs and where to park and stuff, and it's, like, free parking, and it's like, I know these things. I got the hookup. I would have taken you all around, giving you the Shelley tour all over Boston, and, you know, those tours are really kind of expensive. You would have had it all free. I would have hooked you up big time.
Well, and, you know, you being a local, you know, you kind of know all the places to go. And I had a great time in Boston, though. People were friendly and you know, God, the food. I just, you know, I grew up on the Gulf Coast eating seafood, so I was in heaven. I mean, I would go down to the Oyster Bar and just hang out down there and eat food. You know, it was just, you know, it was great. And you know, in a big film like that, they're giving you, you know, a good chunk of per diem per day, so you can go and eat in some of these really nice restaurants and, you know, carte blanche. You just eat what you want, and it was a lot of fun. And we were, you know, staying right there in downtown, you know, so there was a lot to see. You could walk almost everywhere, and it was great. It was not, you know, it was still, I think it was like September and October when we were there, so it wasn't too cold, although it was starting to get a little cool. But, you know, to the locals, they were like, oh, honey, this is balmy. This is not cold. You don't know what cold is. Come back in February, you know?
Yeah, in the middle of the winter. Oh, yeah, and it's like, you know, when I used to go to the clubs in Boston, and it's like, I remember one time it was in the alley. It was near the Boston Common, and the fire alarm went off. And I'm sitting there with my two friends, and we're, like, cuddling, and we have, like, a tank top on. It was so cold, and it's like, oh, my God. It was so freezing. We couldn't wait to get back in the club. And just the nights in Boston walking around, I'm telling you, the nightlife comes alive. And just knowing, if you know where to park, you can have a really good time, like going into the, like, to see the plays, and it's just, it's amazing when you know where to go. Did you happen to, you didn't happen to go through Chinatown or anything, did you? Like, what did you go around in Boston?
Gosh, let's see. Man, where did I go? We went
to
Beacon
Hill. Did you go to
South
End or... Beacon Hill, okay, because that's what it looked like. I was trying to figure out. I didn't know if it was the North End or Beacon Hill.
I think
that's where you were.
We went down some, along the port, you know, along the waterfront. I can't remember what that was called, but, you know, a lot of times we didn't have a whole lot of free time, to be honest with you. I mean, we did a few times to Beacon Hill and went shopping, but most of the time we were working. I mean, it was, you know, second unit on a big film like that, we were working 6 days a week. So it was, you'd have one day off or you'd sleep half day because you were so tired. And then, you know, you'd go to a movie, or a couple times somebody would go to a baseball game, you know, but I didn't even make it to one of the baseball games. But we just hung out, but most of it was work, you know. It was, you know, sometimes you get on a film where you have plenty of days off in between with acting, but when you're on second unit and it's an action unit like that, it's just all work single day. So...
Yeah.
Yeah. It was crazy, but it was fun. I loved Boston. I just thought it was a great place to film. You know, just visually too. I mean, with the bridges, those spanning bridges that, you know, in some of the buildings downtown, it was just, you know, it was just a really cool city to film in.
Yeah, and it's each city is pretty, like, you know, it's a little city within itself, and, you know, going through different parts of it, and I lived on the inner cities and been around, like, the North End and stuff, and it's like, I would have hooked you up in the little restaurants that were not that expensive, because you go to the most expensive restaurants, and it's like, you have these little places for what, right? And it's like, you go to the mom-and-pop's place, oh, my gosh, you get, like, a $5 sub that you could eat for days, and it's just it's just those things, when you know those things, like some diners and stuff, you get really good food, and just wonderful places, because you hear about all the big places, but when you find those little places, those mom and pops, believe me, you'll gain like 15 pounds like every single day.
Right.
I would have hooked you up big time.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, I'll have to, if I can ever get back there, you know, they film a lot of stuff there. I mean, now it's a little bit late in the season because now it's snow there, I'm sure, but... you know, I think, you know, mostly in the spring and the summer and the fall, they have a big slate of movies that come there just because, you know, their tax breaks and their incentives through the city are so great, you know, and they roll out the red carpet. Like I said, they'd shut down big areas in Boston where, you know, traffic would be backed up, and they just didn't care. It was like, okay, the movie companies were here and they're hiring a ton of our people, so let's shut the bridge down, you know. Which was crazy.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, man.
Gosh, yeah. So do you get back there a lot, or do you...
No, because it's like, it's just kind of more of a pain. I haven't been back to Boston for like 2 years, so I'm hoping to get some things together. It's like, see, my dream, this is going to sound crazy, might be a little lame, but, you know, to make money, and it's not the fact of having the most expensive of everything, but imagine having a car, right? It's not the most expensive car, but getting a car and having no car payments. You know, it's something to have a nice little thing for myself. Maybe someday having a house, not a big mansion, but having it paid off, that's like the awesome thing. And it's like, you know, maybe having, you know, some nice clothing. It's not the most expensive things. It's like having basic necessities and stuff, like normal things for myself. So if I get a car, I can, it's so easy to get back to Boston from where I live. It's a 2.5-hour drive, but it's straight highway. so it's so easy to get to where I live, and it's like I would love to go back and visit my friends even for like a Sunday and come back up, and you know, you don't know where things would go. Maybe someday I'll have a car. You know, this hope's in the work for me.
Well, a lot of people on the East Coast don't, you know, a lot of people get around and don't have a car, and you don't need one, I guess, really, you know.
Well,
it's not
back
like
back in Boston, it's in Boston that they have the trains and everything. Up in Maine, it's not the same thing. They have, like, a train that goes down, the Down Easter that goes down there, but it's not the same. It's not the same. Public transit, They have some buses, but it's not that much. I mean, there's a movie theater where I live. It's a 7-minute drive, but it's a 2-hour walk. I actually, to see the Fast and the Furious, it took me 2 hours to walk to the theater and 2 hours to walk back because I wanted to see the movie so bad. So it was in the middle of the summer, so I'm walking, and I was sweating my butt off walking back, and I was like, man, I don't know if I can do this again. It was like just to see a movie. Even the bus lines, it's just horrible. I wanted to see Vin Diesel. I mean, you know, I just had to see him. I had to see that movie, and the four-hour walk altogether, it was worth it.
A good friend of mine, you know, directed that, Spiro Rosatos, and, man, there was some great action in that film, too. I couldn't believe it.
Which one was that?
The Fast and the Furious. You mean I was thinking of the last one that I saw. You know, they're in the middle of shooting another one right now in Colorado, and I don't know where else they're filming. But my friend, second unit, directed it. I went and saw the screening with him and a bunch of other people when we were. I was shooting Captain America in Cleveland, and we went to the screening of The Fast and the Furious, the last sequel to it, and because he had second and directed it. So it was kind of fun, but there was a ton of stunts in that movie, wasn't there?
Yes. The one that was just out when they had the thing at the end, the big car thing at the end, and he had to shoot over. I mean, the one before that, people get mixed up. They had the safe on the other one, but this was one, it was a little bit different, and it was like it was also to do with the plane, the big, huge plane.
But it was good. Yeah, there was so much action on that film. Good grief.
Yeah, I have a ball, and it's like, it's so funny because, you know, it's like, I respect action films, and it's like, it's so funny. It's like, I like Vin Diesel, and I know people like The Rock and stuff, and it's like, I know people make fun of Vin Diesel the way he sounds, but I talk funny, and it's like, I get so psyched. Every time Vin Diesel does a film, I get so psyched because he talks funny. I can understand what he's saying, and people are like, I can't understand him, and it's like, I can understand him. He's like Rocky and all those things, these people that think that people with funny accents like mine will never get anywhere, but look at Vin Diesel. What he made of himself, you know?
I like him too. I've always liked him. He's fun. You know, he's just a bad dude, you know. He's fun. My kids loved him. I can't remember that movie that he did, but it was more of a kids movie where he had to take care of that family, you know, a bunch of kids, and I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, he was a babysitter or something like that. Yes, I know what you're talking about. Oh, not like the Tooth Fairy. I know, right? That's going to drive me crazy.
I know. It was good, though. So, you know, he was good in that, I thought. He really was.
Yeah, I have a ball seeing his films. I was like, you know, he's like, it's something about him. I don't know what it is, and it's like, I feel so bad because we're like out of time, and I cannot believe this. Didn't I tell you goodbye fast?
It was a lot of fun talking to you. It was so much fun, and I'm really grateful that you had me on the show, and I'm going to send you. I want you to after the show at some point send me. Just text me your address, and I'm going to send you some products, okay? I want to make sure you try them.
Thank you so much. And I was like, I'm going to send James, I mean, with the traditions, like I said, with the T-shirt stuff. I'll get a photographer, and I'll take pictures of me, you know, looking good in the traditions T-shirts and post it all over my Facebook page. And
love
if you
it.
Want a dragon, I'll wear it.
James and Donald love that. I'm telling you, they love the publicity, and you have a great show, and I really appreciate you having me on. It was so much fun.
Thank you. I'm honored that you came on my show. Thank you. And I hope you'll be a guest on a future show with me.
Absolutely, absolutely, and we'll stay in touch. And I'm so glad to have connected with you. It's, you know, you're just a great person, very genuine, and I wish you the very best. You're going to do great.
Oh, you're going to make me cry. Thank you so much, and thank you for being on my show, and you have a good evening.
All right. Take care. Good to talk to you, Shelley.
All right. See you. Bye-bye. Man, this has been such an awesome show. I'm telling you, I haven't had the greatest week at all, and I got so sick this week, and it's just so uplifting, and I just feel so happy. I feel like this is a dream. If I'm dreaming, please, I do not want to go to bed. This is how excited I am, even though I should go to bed. It was like kind of a rough day, but just the show itself, this made this up for this whole entire week. And I'm so thankful from the bottom of my heart to the listeners out there. Thank you. James Wilson, thank you for calling in. Cheryl, thank you for being a guest. Don the Dragon Wilson called in on my show. Oh, my God. Did he really call in my show? Yes, people. If you missed it, Don the Dragon Wilson, I'm going to upload and post it on my Facebook page, you know, Shelley Kama Nunchucks, and you guys are just, Don the Dragon Wilson called into my show. I'm just like, I feel like that's part of my childhood right now. Just like, woo. Well, anyway, you know, everybody that, you know, has a dream, just remember, you're as good as anybody else. So you go for it. And just to let you know, I'll be kicking it with Cardiac on Sunday. Just remember that. One of my nephews back in Boston, he's going to be, you know, an upcoming singer and stuff. I can't wait to be kicking it with him on Sunday. Well, anyway, everyone, thank you for tuning in, and have a good evening. I try.